Where are you? The Whip Around with your hosts, Dave DiOrio.
Don't you stop me!
So to my question, you
this
did.
This is my segment.
I am actually looking at Alton Brown's ambrosia recipe.
Sean Hayes.
That is totally it. That is a slam.
In space!
Words.
I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
And Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
A weekly look at news, current events, and pop culture phenomena, where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and nothing is censored. So get your it's the Whip Around.
Greetings from the past, listeners and citizens alike. It is Sean here on the Whip Around, sitting with...
Oh, me. It's Phil. Hi, everybody.
Everything is going fine.
It's a totally normal day for everybody. In the past.
As you listen to this podcast, if you're one of those people who listens right away, I am not in this nation at this point. I am overseas. I am in Deutschland.
I'm still here.
Which is German for the land of the Deutsch. Yes,
I never knew you were bilingual.
Don't tell everybody. Yes, but I speak very little German, and yet I'm going anyway because I've got a traveling friend that I am riding his coattails over into the Deutschlandish Isles or whatever it is. I'm not a geography major.
Wow.
And you're going to be meeting said person very shortly. But first, just want to make sure and say, hey, even though this is a canned episode and it's been several weeks, I guess, since the regular time
this will be
stopped.
About 6 to 7 weeks.
Is that right? No.
No. 3 weeks.
Moronical.
3 weeks. I can't do math.
Well, then we're stuck. Because, you know. Anyway, we are excited to be here again. Who knows what fun we've all had.
You might be in Deutschland by the time you listen to this.
I don't know. Who knows? We've gone global by now. And we have got a very special guest. He is, again, besides a wonderful traveling companion, currently. This time travel thing is messing me up.
It's weird, right? All your verb tenses.
Doc Brown made it look so easy. He is a 5th and 6th grade music teacher. He is the vice president of the Gloucester County Education Association in South Jersey. Accent work. He is a world traveler. He's an all-around nice guy. My friend, Ryan Griffin, is here. Henceforth and for always, now called Griff. Since forever, I say his name to cover our legalities, but this is Griff. In a big way, this is Griff Griffin.
And unless I'm in trouble, then call me Ryan. And by the way, at this point, I probably will have left you behind in Deutschland and now on my way to Amsterdam.
Good luck out there, Sean.
Abandoned in Germany.
I can see the future.
A podcaster's story. So, Griff, on that auspicious note.
Wow.
Firstly, we've got so much to get through, Griff. But just to set the table for everybody, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what it is you do?
Currently, I teach 5th and 6th grade music. That's choral, general, and band, so I do it all. And I'm the only music teacher in my building, which is a good thing because I don't have to worry about anybody else giving me their opinions. I have a pretty my self-importance is a little inflated, so...
Oh,
in my building.
So you fit right in here.
I am the only
self-aware
person.
Self-aware and egotistical can overlap.
Right.
I'm aware.
No, so I'm the only music teacher in my building. So I don't want to say I make my own rules just in case anybody's listening. They'll challenge me on that. But
I'm Beethoven. I make the rules.
You get to do it your way.
But I've been teaching for 16 years in this school, and I love it. I really do. Now, I say this after just having ended the school year. So I love it.
Right now,
I love teaching.
July. Ooh, oh, yes. Yes, it's travel.
So he's been out of school for a while now.
Yeah, it's in the middle of July now. And I still love teaching. Now, ask me that in the middle of August, I might have changed my tune. No, actually, because...
music teacher changes tune. Bada bing.
Thanks, Desi.
You still want to do the show?
I have to go.
Okay. You know what? Me too.
I'll show you out.
No, honestly, though, once the middle toward the end of August rolls around, there is something inside of me that says, you know what? It's going to be nice to get back to work and see the kids again. I think, how's this kid doing? So, I guess I still love it at this point. There are times where I hate it. Yes, okay. It's true. But let's see. What else about
me? Well, we covered one hat. I was hoping two, and we've got plenty of interview questions. But before you go too much further anywhere else, I was hoping to hear about this whole vice president.
Right. So that's the highest position I have within that organization. I'm the vice president.
Which is a teachers union, yes?
Actually, not just teachers. It's teachers and education support professionals. We're all encompassing. And if you're
and that includes what exactly? Just for
custodians, secretaries, also bus drivers. Let's see, food service workers. We call them ESPs just for short, education support professional or essential support professional if you really want to be gung-ho about it.
Okay.
They're the people that clean the schools. They're the people that answer the phones. They're the people that deal with the public, the secretaries. And I often say that the secretary is really the one in charge.
God,
who cares what the
totally.
Principal says? Also, they're the ones that drive the kids to and from school. The hardest job in public school is as a bus driver. And without them...
I buy that.
I always hated my bus drivers, but they were awful. There were nice ones, but I never had one. Ours ran over a trash can or a turtle. We were never sure. And yelled and blamed us. We weren't allowed to have our reflections from our binders on the ceiling. And then there was another one who used to scrape her fat neck and eat the dead skin off her fingers.
I walked.
I went to school in hell, I guess. Okay, but Griff,
sorry,
we digress. We're forcing you off road here.
Ha! Bus driver.
Bus driver off the road.
See?
I don't get it. You represent these folks?
As vice president of Gloucester County, yes. There are 7,500, give or take, members in Gloucester County, New Jersey. And I'm the vice president of that organization. That means that I serve those people. I'm not in charge. I don't consider that at all. If they want me to do something, I do it.
So what do you do?
Well,
in that role,
as vice president, I serve for the in the position of president should the president not be available. Number one, but number two, I'm also in charge of the every year there's a convention that NJEA has, New Jersey Education Association, has in Atlantic City. We have a booth there. I'm responsible for coordinating all that and people watching it and giveaways and things like that. That's the most amount of quote work that I do for at the very beginning of the year. And then besides that, I chair a bunch of committees such as the Constitution Committee. I serve ad hoc on
what is the Constitution Committee do?
Okay, so every organization,
is this like a charter kind of thing?
Yeah, sort of. Every organization, democratic organization, has a constitution. It's just rules that you have to follow, constitution and bylaws.
You hear that, Congo?
Oh,
I was going to say, hear that, President Trump? Anyways, as chair of that committee, we review them every 2 years and see if anything needs to be changed or any sort of things that, we've started doing things this way, so we should change it in the Constitution. Or
if they invent a new position, you have to put it into the Constitution in some way.
Yes, yes. And that's happened. We've had a couple of at-large positions on the executive committee or, we have a women in education position that we have on exec committee now that wasn't there, or now we have a standing committee, which is education support professional committee, because they need to be represented as well. So that was something we put in. So that's okay. That's every 2 years. I serve ad hoc on all the committees in some form or another. Whether I'm a vocal member, I just kind of sit back and watch. I go there go to the office maybe 3-4 days a week. I'm also the chair of the government relations committee on for Gloucester County, which means I serve on the state committee for government relations. So I deal with all the state state legislators in New Jersey, specifically where the Senate president, Steve Sweeney, is in Legislative District 3.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't do anything.
No, not
you
really.
Do much of anything.
So yeah, so he teaches 5 days a week, and then 3 days a week he goes and is the representative for the union to the legislators.
Yeah, biggie.
No big
nothing,
deal.
Nothing
no, it's fine.
There.
No, really, not a big deal.
Also, I serve on the sorry.
Also, sorry. Holy crap, man!
Also, I serve on the delegate assembly for New Jersey Education Association, which is 5 weekends out of the year. Our last meeting lasted, I think, around 8 hours or so on a Saturday.
Those part-time teachers, huh?
Yep. Yeah, I know.
Part-time teachers.
Yeah, they don't deserve a couple of weeks off a year. No.
So I'm guessing you're making high in the seven-figure range for all these responsibilities and all this work you're putting in and fairly compensate teachers. Griff, do you mind if we sort of move into sort of peppering you with some questions about the teaching side especially of your job?
Please do.
Now, I noticed you had said you are the only music teacher in your building and that works for you.
Yes.
But I hear music teacher in 2018 also when I hear probably part of a, I don't know if dying is too strong a word, but not as populous as before, that particular job and jobs like it that are not STEM related, that are not at least core class mm-hmm. related. Let's say you had a magic wand, okay? Or a conductor's,
a magic twist tie.
And you've got the power. You've got the power here, let's say, to reshape how America handles public education. Specifically, you as a guy who teaches music. I want you to be a little selfish here for us, please. But let's just say you've got it. Here's your magic conductor's baton.
You get to make a legislator do exactly what you need him to.
Well, even maybe not let me. You just it happened. You know what I'm saying? You don't even have to worry about a person who does it with the mechanics. What's the first spell that you cast that you change immediately about public education in 2018?
Give them 45 minutes of recess in the morning, 45 minutes of recess in the afternoon, and I'll tell you why.
Now, them as like, students, not teachers? Otherwise, it could be fun. Right?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, us, of course. No.
We should all get to play kickball.
And I'll tell you why. And it's not just for going outside and playing sports or whatever. It's for learning.
Sports ball.
It's learning how to be social with each other, learning how to deal with each other, all right? Because too often, you're in a school, you're in rows, reading about one thing or another and having to write about this. Now, I say this with a qualifier is that my colleagues try to enrich the kids or encourage the kids'
creativity.
Of course,
they're all wonderful. Cast a selfish spell.
Fine, yeah. Like I said, recess 45 minutes.
And not
just for going outside, but for doing enriching activities that they can, go and practice their instrument, go and draw something, go and create something, go and innovate, go and make a new music machine or make a new something that helps.
Build your own theremin.
Right.
What is that water pipe? Is it a water pipe that does all that? Right? All the horror movie soundtracks? Is that what that is?
I have no idea. Water pipe?
Or a water phone? Water phone?
A water phone.
Is that what it is?
I'm going to make one of those.
Listeners, please write in and help us on this one.
No worry, man. I got the... Okay, so Griff, you've done that. I'm gonna turn the screw one more time. Mm. What is the next thing you're gonna cast? Because I want you to do something for the music teachers.
Okay.
Right. I want you to. What would you do if you were empowered to lift that up? Because I'm guessing it's not as easy for the music teachers in the world now as it maybe was 20, 30, 40 years ago. Not that it was ever simple. But the environment for it is not as friendly. It's not as conducive.
Got it. Give every school a music lab.
Ooh. Right.
Interesting.
With good computers. Like, I'm talking...
It's a magic wand. Can we say great? Can you just... Amazing? Perfect?
Great
stellar.
Computers.
Let him do the thing. Shut up.
With
it's magic. You know, I mean, like, decent working Macintosh computers.
Well, I was going to say, with high-end MacBooks...
Yeah!
And a synth... attached to each one with sound banks out the wazoo, and then with the highest programs available that these kids can actually do their thing and sit down and play and figure it out, and then put a teacher in there too to show them how to do it.
But a staffed, fully functional, state-of-the-art music lab would be your first move to improve the lot of the music teachers.
I might have actually been more interested in music had there been resources.
Sure. I was thinking the same thing. I remember that it was an interesting day in music class when we listened to that. What's that?
I had a flutophone in third grade. That's it.
If you sing it right, I could probably identify.
This is your drop the needle exam, Griff.
Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like, get on your horse because the rodeo is coming, is what we all did. But you know what I'm talking about? It used to be like the other white meat. It was one of those like public service.
Oh, you mean the song for pork?
Yeah, that. Thank you.
Which is a weird
pork theme song. My point is this.
Appalachian Trail.
Yeah,
there. That's what it's called.
All right, I don't know.
I'll buy it.
But
I studied classical music in college.
I'll play it for you in the water phone here. Hold on. I remember it was like an exciting day because we all got like a piece of red rope licorice. We got to like swing it over our head like it was a lasso. That was like high tech day in music class, you know. We're like, yeah.
So high tech for you in music was red rope licorice.
We got the recorder. You know, everybody got to use one.
That was third grade for us.
That's it. Like that was there was horrible. You know, we didn't have a lot of stuff.
We were forced to do it in third grade. That was my only exposure to like. Yeah. You must play an instrument.
And that was that. That's the thing that I guess I didn't enjoy about it is because I could tell the kids were sitting there going, oh, gotta do this. And it's fine. It helps improve motor skills and teaches you the concept of wind instruments and especially the woodwind instruments because it follows the same fingering pattern. But they would be a lot more interested if they could interact with technology because guess what? That's our world nowadays is technology.
That's true. When am I going to use this recorder when I'm trying to pay my taxes?
Right.
You're not helping.
I've got another question, and then I want I know Phil's itching to ask you something a little more specific here, Griff.
Got it.
I want to end my questioning on a squarely positive note. Can you share with us something uplifting, something inspirational, something that puts the wind in your proverbial sails about public education? Something where you can say, hey, it's not all doom and gloom. I wish people knew this, or I wish people could experience this, or remember this, or something.
Well, where else can you go to a place where you're really interacting with diverse group of people? And yes, in an intimate setting, in a classroom setting, but also in a social setting, which it could be a little more social. But in a social setting, where else could you go to do that and really grasp and get social skills? And I can say specifically in the school I work in, is that we're a fun school. The teachers are wacky and goofy and strange, and we just have a great time. And, we try to get the kids, to do that as well.
I mean, where else can you go to get all of that? You can't.
Well, and the thing is, it's interesting.
Not in a positive environment.
I was going to say, the other ones that you tend to find are either war zones, prisons, like something like that, where something is bad, where there are all kinds of different
riots.
Folks.
Everybody gets out for a riot.
Or properly handled a public school, a positive way, where everyone gets to come together to hopefully learn and grow. You know what I mean?
The schools have teachers that are incredibly dedicated. And the problem is that we hear about the bad ones, you know? Just like you hear about bad police officers. Just like you hear about bad this because bad.
Podcasters.
Right, like yourself.
Porn stars. Like myself.
Right, right.
I'm a bad porn star, man.
That's right. Pink sock.
But
that's my porn name and my specialty.
You hear about the bad, but there are so many more good than bad, you know? There are people in these schools who genuinely care about these kids, who genuinely care about their intellectual development and academic development, and who genuinely care about where they go in life. And you don't hear about those because that doesn't sell the advertising. You know what I mean?
True. That doesn't grab the camera.
It's not a headline.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Because we're all, those are the ones that are doing what we expect them to do.
Right. Every school you go to, you're going to find somebody, a majority of the teachers that feel that way. It's just, once again, you don't hear about those.
I don't, but I'm glad that you're reminding us, which is kind of what I was after with that question. Like, what are we not looking at? What are we not thinking about? What are we not seeing?
Yeah.
And I'm glad. I don't know.
Yeah.
For the citizens out there, Griff's gestures are more intense this. This has brought him to life in a way that he wasn't
that
before.
That was awesome.
And he was alive before.
That was a long drive here. So.
So. yes,
it is.
It is. It is.
I think I've only got one thing, and given that we're on time where we are, this is either going to end up on the cutting room floor, and we're going to go to break now.
Absolutely not.
Or I'm just curious, Griff, can you play an automaton?
That's Tommy
the automaton.
This looks a lot like a sax, and I'm actually a sax player, but we'll see. That sounds like me when I wake up.
If you squeeze the mouth, it opens it up to get louder.
And you can adjust the pitch on the.
So I have to find the octaves here.
This is the most professional that's ever been done.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
That's a sweet spot. You found it.
It's supposed to be happy birthday if you haven't figured it out.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. It's terrifying. Oh, there it is. Oh, yes.
You know, and
too sexual.
And there it is, folks. That automaton is more than just Sean's annoying toy. It can be used as an instrument.
Yes, it is not just my annoying toy. It's Griff's too.
Thank you very much for the gift, guys. I really appreciate it.
So we're gonna take a quick break while we pry
every
the
classroom with an automaton
from Griff's hands, and we'll be right back. We're gonna talk some strangeness. Some God damn it! Guys.
I'm not touching this thing, but it's making that noise.
We'll be right back.
Son of a bitch.
You know Little Debbie. Well, at the Whip Around, we have little hot takes that you can find on all of our social media. Just little hot takes of our views on certain things that are coming up on the show, things on the previous show. It's just really a great way for you to see what we're up to, get some little more depth into that week's episode. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can also email us, The Whip Around, all around, and you can get our little hot takes.
Phil is here. I am here. Griff is there.
I'm here.
Yes. And it is time for our deep dive, everybody. Now, something else that I don't know if the listeners might not know this about Griff. It's the extent to which the man has traveled. And like moi, which is French for mooey, he is from a small town. Now, Griff, you're a world traveler. It's official, gaining an experience every year or so.
Well,
right?
I've just been to Europe. You know, people have been all over the place.
So far, what I was going to ask.
That's more places than most people.
So far, where have you been?
UK, Ireland, Netherlands, Belgium, France, Spain, Portugal, Monaco, Luxembourg, Liechtenstein, Switzerland, Germany. I think I'm missing one. Oh, Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Nicely done. Look at that shit. Right.
Oh, and the Bahamas, but I was too young to really appreciate that.
So basically all of Europe, almost.
Well, all of, Western Europe, yeah.
You pretty much punched all those tickets there.
And these are, they're all solo trips?
No, not all of them.
Okay.
Three of them were with this the church I used to sing with professionally, and then two were with an ex-girlfriend.
But as we speak, you will be on a duo trip.
Sure.
And that is Spanish for duh. Where you and I will be in Germany.
We're actually there now.
I'm saying we are going to have... We will have been being...
Boy, that future past participle bullshit's happening, huh?
As we speak. Well, okay, so the point is that
they're
Griff,
there right now, listener.
Griff gets around.
Woo! Mm-hmm.
And for a guy who's seen so much, perhaps he'll have an interesting take on some of the news that Phil and I have been looking at, because, Griff, you're lucky enough to be here for a very important type of deep dive here. It is time for Weird Shit from around the world. Now, we've got two.
Sorry.
You're going to be all right? It's going to be okay. Weird shit from around the world.
It's like my space. I don't know why I got
it. All right, I've got one for Phil. Weird shit.
Just go.
From around the world.
That hurts me.
We have two major stories here to unpack from recent bizarro news. Both from, we'll say, disparate parts of the globe. And I'm trying to not look at Phil while he collapses like a dying star.
For no reason.
In exposing these not quite mainstream headline dealios, maybe we can discover what makes us all alike in this world. Maybe we can bring the world together by showing, hey, we're all fucking oddballs after all. And I figure you've got some perspective on that, Griff. Are you down for this?
Some...
Weird shit!
Stop.
From around the world!
Picture I have in my head for, like, the graphic for this segment.
I see it, too! I see it. Do you see it, listener? I see it. Griff, do you see it?
I see it. Oh,
it's,
yeah.
it's an in my head visual gag for an audio podcast, which is
Does it involve feces?
Yes,
I know.
Getting thrown at a globe as it spins.
Okay. High class podcast. Oh,
fucking
High
yeah. Class. Like loads of fucking class.
You ready for our first story? Go. Okay. And the deal is we're going to hear the story, we react, we unpack, right? So you'll hear what's up, a little bit of a hot take, then we'll maybe crack the things open and go a couple more layers down, right?
Do it.
And although this episode will only air weeks from now, or is
just
well,
weeks.
We're seeing weird shit from Germany, you and I.
Right. It is presently the World Cup, right? Presently the World Cup is gripping the Earth's attention, or a lot of it, especially the parts that aren't the United States, where we're somewhat into it.
I'm down.
Thus, it has seized some of the most whip-arounderific weird shit.
Stop it. Just go.
So let's see. Achilles, the deaf, psychic cat.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen. Or, depending on your priorities, the psychic deaf cat. The cute white mouser, impossible Russian agent. Just never know. You know, I don't know what the world is like when this comes out, but where I'm from,
when you're from, yeah.
Everybody's probably a Russian agent. Okay, so Achilles accurately picked his home country of Russia to defeat challenger Saudi Arabia in their World Cup match last week. Last week to me, anyway. His handlers give him his choice of food. Here's the same food, two different dishes. The country's flag is on each dish. So they have the Russian flag, Saudi Arabian flag. And whichever dish he goes to, evidently, perhaps it's a verbal contract, is the team that he is picking to win the football contest. And it was an accurate pick. Russia went on to win that match. That being its only prediction, it's got a 100% success rate, ladies and gentlemen. Of his deafness, his handlers also mentioned that this is not a problem. It actually helps him focus. It gives him discipline where he's not distracted like all those other fucking loser cats. He can zero in on his psychic powers to choose once. I don't know how he's done since this will have been being come out. But at the time, 100%. Success rate. Achilles can now join the ranks of such psychic luminaries as Predictoroo, the kangaroo, who was around, I don't know, a couple years ago. He was owned by the Croc Hunter's daughter. I forget her name right now because it's too sad.
Crikey.
Yes, that's her. Right, Crikey. Also, Paul, the sadly now dead octopus. He of the 85% accuracy rate in the 2010 World Cup, and Nelly the Elephant, who sports a 90% accuracy rate over 2006 Women's World Cup, the 2008 Euro Games, and the 2010 World Cup. I'm going to say again, the Elephant, 90% accuracy rate. And so I ask you, Achilles the deaf psychic cat, Achilles the psychic deaf cat, let us react. Griff, just react to this story for us.
Well, he's from the future, obviously. Like, we just ran into him.
Because he found him in the slipstream.
We just found him, yes.
You guys found him in Germany and sent him back.
That's right. That's
right. I'm very impressed with what you will have been having done.
And we're slipping, or we will have done, been slipping catnip into his... The correct choice. So he continues to have 100%.
Okay.
Because if you're in the future, you know how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Phil, react to the story?
I feel like if it was really, really real, I feel like the mob would have killed it a long time ago because they would have lost a lot of money on the betting.
Well, I have heard.
That's where I went.
There is some mob presence in Russia, I believe, has been rumored.
No.
So now unpack, all right? Here's where I wanted to take this. Why? Why do we humans consistently do this?
There's been one for every World Cup, yeah.
Why is the predicting psychic animals thing a consistent element of life? I mean, we are presently located in Pennsylvania, in which there is a famous rodent.
Oh, yeah.
Who, for I don't know how many millennia, has been pulled up out of this stumpy tree stump hole and held up to grunt at its own shadow, maybe bite someone, and then we all make this shadow play of believing, there's a little pun for you, Griff, believing this otherwise ridiculous shit in some way does something. So I'm just wondering, first off, why? Why do we do this?
We want to have the mystery. We want to be able to say, yes, I know this, and there's a cat that's telling me who's going to win the next World Cup, or there's a dog that's telling me what my lottery numbers are going to be. You know, we want to believe this bullshit, and we don't want to admit that it's bullshit.
I was going to say, so you're saying file under W for want to believe. We all want to know that there's some other way of knowing, and so we go to animals.
Yeah, or we go to something that's not going to call us out for bullshitting. You know what I mean?
Okay,
you know, so an animal doesn't have a language to be able to say, oh, by the way, I'm full of shit. So
okay, that's true.
That's true. Yeah, you can under torture. I'm sure you can get a psychic to admit they're full of shit. But you know,
right, the animals. Punxsutawney Phil is going to be a tougher nut to crack. Not that I wouldn't like a chance.
I mean, listen, I'd like to be the most important Phil in Pennsylvania. But that's just me.
Let's do it, Phil. Embrace the dark side. But all right,
just
Phil,
go kill it.
Same question to you. But why do we do this? Why is it so historically
got
a thing?
Griff doesn't have a bad point.
Well, I wasn't turning to you because he's
no,
full
well,
of shit.
Going off of that, the idea of if we keep doing it, we don't have to admit. If we stop doing it, like if there was no psychic animal this year, you can look back and go, oh, we stopped doing that because it was bullshit. But
if
we
really
keep doing
think
it,
that the only reason this is happening
well, it's not the only
is
reason,
inertia.
But I think inertia has something to do with it.
So maybe let me twist this then. Sure. Why do you think this started or maintained once science became a thing? You see what I'm getting
that
at?
That I have no idea.
Why
once again,
is this
there's
something,
so many things, and we've talked about that a lot.
And it's across sports.
What's
weather,
across everything? Like,
right?
Why do we believe? What, you know, why do you believe any? Why do you continue to believe it when having been shown many times in many different ways that this is not a thing?
How many listeners out there have or know someone who has a lucky rabbit's foot?
Yeah,
something like that, right? An actual animal appendage. That's like, well, you know, maybe
just in case.
I'm just wondering why it is we look to animals to be somehow beyond what we are, and yet at the same time, we're also like, oh, we're better than animals.
Well, we don't want to look to ourselves, you know, for the answers. We want to go externally and you know, look at this little fuzzy thing that I have. And if I hold on to it, then, if I hold on to it, then it's going to bring me this and this. I used to do this with like rocks when I was a kid. I used to
told you, small town, Phil. There's a lot to do.
Yeah, yeah.
This is
or pine cones in Mount Gretna, you know. I would pick up something and go, oh yes, because of this, now I'm going to get accepted to college, or I'm going to, you know, make the regional choir festival, you know, right, because of this.
The fault is in our rocks.
Yeah, right. And taking accountability away from us.
Okay. Externalization of accountability and responsibility.
Sure.
So if that cat fucks it up, like, look, what do you want me to do?
It was the fucking
cat. The cat made the wrong call.
Right.
Well, exactly. If you go to a human for a prediction, you can look at another human and go, you have bias. You can't look at a cat and go, well, clearly this cat roots for, you know, Saudi Arabia. They're going to pick the right country because they're always going to pick them. That's, you know, you can eliminate that. But then there's also uncertainty. And when uncertainty exists, you want control.
Yes.
And when you want control, you invent magical shit to give you control, whether it be a rock or a rabbit's foot. I mean, it could just be something you found. You found a rock the day that you picked up your acceptance letter was in the mail. Well, those two things had absolutely nothing to do with each other. That letter might have come the next day, but because you found the rock and you happen to go home and see that letter, you correlate the two because you want
to
believe
you
have control.
Totemic.
Yeah.
Behavior. This represents this and that. What's interesting is that we seem to have this parallel thing. Because again, another example.
But why you pick a fucking octopus is beyond me.
Because they're smart.
And they have eight legs.
For soccer.
Eight tentacles and they can make.
Hear me.
It's a water animal. There's no soccer in water. Sorry.
May I?
No.
There is also the issue of the zodiac, right? Most, not all, but most of the signs and the symbols are animals. Or come from story, but you know, like a lot of different countries have zodiac animals. Again, it's we look to these things. It's a bit, so maybe it is a totemic extension of what it is we're doing. It's just like a thing that people do. I mean, sports teams, mascots, you know, local legends. My question to you then, Griff, is along your travels, have you seen anything that was wow? That is this sort of strange totemic. They all have this, or they look to that, or they believe in this, and even to the point where there's like a national animal, like we've got the eagles, or anything where you saw any of this type of behavior anywhere in your travels?
I gotta say, I have to answer no to that because it because
didn't hang around any Russian cat betting parlors.
No,
missing out.
No, they all closed by the time I got there. But no, it's just it seems that the people I interact with in Europe and I'm generalizing it, but there's a little more of a reasonable mentality. You know what I mean?
So do you think Americans might be even more so than other places you've been prone to got to find a thing? I want to find my lucky thing, my magic thing. Is it maybe a selfishness thing?
Yeah, maybe. But then again, I mean, you've got we're not certainly not the only country that does these sorts of things.
We're just curious about your travels.
Yeah, I have to say that oh God, nothing pops off the top of my head. But then again, I'm not very good at recall.
That's okay.
Can't remember anything, but remember, I have no memory. But I've got one other story for you.
Ooh, more news.
Yes.
Go on.
Dateline, Friday, June 22nd, 2018. The place, Russian World Cup city, Nizhny Novgorod. The headline.
God bless you.
You small-minded man. The headline. Residents startled as bizarre, spelled incorrectly, but whatever, UFO object lights up night sky near Russia World Cup city. It's the two Z's in bizarre that the UK does sometimes. It was a British one Z in bizarre, folks. I don't care what you.
That's Zed, sir.
Zed's dead, baby. The gist. And we'll post a link to this and the other story, of course. And I recommend folks unfamiliar with this, Google the story of the Nizhny Novgorod mystery, little tiny person. The gist here is that a jellyfish-like object, I'm quoting there, a jellyfish-like object lit up the purple-gold urban night sky over part of Russia. And it did have kind of a tri-tentacled angel white shape going on with a bright object right where the tentacles joined. It was this slow-moving, truly massive shape just edging its way across the sky. The video I saw, which you can see a very brief video of this, about a minute, complete with nervously laughing Russians and a single worried-sounding Russian dog. Or maybe he's predicting something. I don't know. But again, a minute long, and it did seem pretty weird. The story about it on the British-run site Express had the requisite social media quotes, too. Quote, is that a rocket, a fireball, or a UFO over in Nizhny Novgorod? Talk to me, comrades. I'm worried, you tiny, minuscule human. And of course, quote, I've seen alien life, and it looks like a stingray. It should be...
Stingrays are alien.
Wow! It should be noted here, front and center, that Russian space officials explained this, saying that the strange shape was thanks to a Russian Soyuz 2-1B rocket launched from the Plesetsk Cosmodrome a bit past midnight. The very night.
That sounds awesome.
The very night.
Plesetsk Cosmodrome?
That sounds like the best disco in Russia.
Hey, we're all going to the Cosmodrome. Anyway, same night, around the same time. But you'll be less than shocked, gents and citizens, when I tell you that not everyone is buying this explanation. There's some suggestion that the government is merely covering up the jellyfish truth. Reactions. Phil, let's start with you this time.
Space jellyfish, clearly.
We talked about this.
What?
We talked about not
being that glib.
Glib.
Well, I was thinking
son
about
of a
this.
Batch.
Can I bring my space fishing rod?
Yeah, no, you need a big
bait.
Net.
Oh, okay.
A big net.
Oh, like the Little Prince.
Oh, I was thinking SpongeBob. Whatever.
Remember the Little Prince? You fucking troglodytes. Get some fucking get some culture.
Perfect silence and staring at him. No, it's
Little Prince?
It's natural to look
his
at that.
His only friend was like this little rose woman under a little... He was like on his own little planet. He caught a star in a net. Very European. You'd love it, Griff.
I'm sure I would. Little Prince.
Mm-hmm. You fucking idiots.
So it was, there's all different things that you can, that can do that. But the funny thing is the first thing.
One, alien. Two, space jellyfish.
Right.
Three,
the
God
government.
Angels specialty.
This is,
four, Zeus.
Realistically though, we have an example of that, in recent memory. the meteor that shattered over one of the Russian cities. It was a couple summers ago.
Right. Yeah, that was during the day, right?
It was during the day. Absolutely
now, have
right.
Have you seen the image that we're talking about with this video?
No, I was actually just trying to call it up.
Because I'm going to edit here. I want you to see
edit
it.
Edit here. Okay. Hold on. Oh. That's a fun looking thing.
Sort of angel jellyfish.
Jellyfish, absolutely. It kind of looks like Paul the Octopus. The first thing that comes to my mind when I see that is...
Chemtrails. Sorry, I don't believe in that audience. That's not my thing.
And the audience knows that my blood pressure just spiked. If you know how comets, when they get close to the sun and they heat up, they spit out gas?
Okay, so the comet shape we all know.
Right, it kind of makes me think that there's a side of it that's gotten hot and it's outgassing or something like that, and it just happens to be outgassing more in two spots.
Okay. Now that is a react from Phil.
There you go.
Griff, would you care to, as you see this image too, and again, citizens, I recommend, check it out. You know, Google Nizhny Novgorod.
Bless you.
You underhuman. Check it out. Find the image. Griff, would you please react?
We're doomed.
That's how I feel this all the time on this show. Welcome, Griff. Welcome to my world.
I just hope the World Cup doesn't come to the United States because I don't want that floating over me. No,
it's 2026.
Oh, geez. Are we in 2026 in the future? No, we're just a few weeks away, aren't we?
No, but feel free to come on a trip with me in the future that we already may have done.
I'll be right back. Okay, I'm just back from 2026, and there's a big jellyfish over the U.S.
It's a trend.
No, it's just there's of course an explanation for that. It's not
well. No, and remember, I'm also saying react to what everyone has done. They have seen this and went boom, aliens.
Exactly. Well, the first thing
that's also what you can react to here.
Well, the first thing that came to mind when you said this is years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, something like that. Those lights that were going over New Mexico, I believe.
Oh, sure, I remember that.
And oh my God, people made a big stink about that, right? You know, like, yes. Oh, these aliens are coming and they're watching us and blah, blah, blah. It's,
okay.
No, it's like stuff like this. I don't mean to be glib about it, but I just know
you're not now.
Okay. I know there's a logical explanation for it. Thank God we have somebody here who's, scientific.
Thank God you're here, Sean.
Right.
And who can explain these sorts of things. But, you know, I get it, but it's again, primal because, if we... before technology and before we knew what was going on, when we were, young in our awareness as a species.
The '50s.
Yeah, right. No, we would look at these things and make stories about them, or we look at patterns in the sky and make stories about them.
Sure.
Of course.
Our first attempts to classify and understand.
Explain.
The world.
Yeah. Right. And I just don't know what happened along the way, why we stopped doing that.
I mean, he's right, though. I mean, you look at that and you try and find an explanation because you want to rationalize. You want to be able to say what it is because the unknown is far more terrifying than
right.
saying...
The brain will move to explain, just like we will find faces in play because we're trying to recognize patterns.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's also obviously the problem, too, with technology where we are now. We're not quite... We haven't quite evolved yet to be able to it's confirmation bias. One person sees this and say, well, look at this. I'm going to go online and say, I see a jellyfish over Russia. Millions of people have seen a jellyfish over Russia and think it's a UFO. So now it must be true.
So similar to the don't think about polar bears phenomenon, right? And then there's an actual event to where it's like, don't see a jellyfish.
Right. And it's just, we can't call each other out, or we do call each other out on our bullshit. Now it's,
Well, now it's just flaming each other.
Yeah, it's not rational discussion.
Right, or you're trolling. But that's just another example of it right there.
Bottom line here, fellas, and I know, Phil, I know how you might react to this. What do you guys think? Aliens. A, do they exist? And I want Griff to answer this first. And B, have human beings ever interacted with aliens in any capacity whatsoever?
Do aliens exist? I would say it's mathematically possible.
I didn't say...
I like that answer.
Don't you start. I didn't say could they exist. Do you think they do or not?
Yes.
Okay. Let's unpack that now. Do you think that they exist in terms like little green men?
No, bacteria. Maybe You know, maybe there are some evolved species out there that have gone to, you know, insect and things like that. As far as intelligence is concerned, well, we don't know. Okay. You know, I don't think they're local at all. You know, otherwise we probably would have known it already.
Okay. They don't walk among us.
No.
They haven't been here.
Please. No.
This next thing we're going to do is I'm so excited. I'm so glad to know you guys are here.
Why?
I'm so happy he's here because I don't need to say a damn thing because he nailed that.
That works really well on podcasts. I'm very excited when Phil tells me that he has no reason whatsoever to speak.
I'm gonna step out for a minute. Griff, you got this.
But Phil, let's just make sure we do get this out in the open. Aliens.
Yeah, they exist in some form. Statistically speaking, they're got to be out there.
And have humans ever interacted with them in any capacity whatsoever?
I highly doubt it.
Okay.
I highly doubt it. Okay. I'll give you a percentage, maybe 10%.
I think the last time we talked,
it was about around there.
Things to it. Griff, would you care to play the percentages game? What's the likelihood that humans and aliens in some way?
I don't think I have enough information in my head to really to you know calculate a percent. But
okay. So like 20.
Sure.
Well, time being what it is. Right, there's never enough. That puts me in the mind of something fun! And since time is, of course, ever a wastin', although time spent with you boys never feels wasted.
Aww.
Would you care to play a game?
I don't think I have a choice. I am chained to this chair once a week.
That
so.
Is correct.
Yes.
I gotta watch War Games when I get home.
Would you like to play an immature game?
Of course.
I'll take that as an enthusiastic yes. Okay.
Yes, I would.
To start with, are either of you familiar with, I'm going to try my best now, realism? Not realism. Realism.
As we both did.
R-A-umlauted-E-L-I-S-M, realism.
Can you use it in a sentence, please?
Yes. Are either of you familiar with realism? It started in 1973.
With an R and then an A.
When French race car driver and journalist Claude Voillon.
That's a fucking combination.
Claims to have made contact with the, and I'm quoting, driver of a UFO. With the driver of a UFO.
It's not projecting at all.
What year was this?
1973.
Well, acid was pretty big back then.
Yeah, this is great. This is all gold. This is all going to make it, I swear. French race car driver who claims to have made contact with the driver of a UFO who proceeded to tell him all about how aliens started the human race and were misperceived as gods by the earliest alien-created humans. And this ballooned with Voillon's books and speeches. It was around this time. It wasn't long after this he decided to name himself Réal, after his encounter. I don't know why. He just did. And we're sure to go into all of that at another time, and this whole show can cover realism. Okay? Until it became its own religion. Complete with strange symbols. There was yet another swing and a miss at reappropriating the swastika.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Once again. Didn't quite work out.
I wonder why.
I don't know. But with comparatively progressive ideas like marriage equality, treating homosexuality no differently, you know, with attitudes and laws than one would heterosexuality. And
I'm more behind this than I thought I was going to be at this point in the story.
I'm glad you jumped out. And inevitable religious strangeness like the idea of cloning Hitler and terrorists to then put them on trial and prosecute them for stuff they did while they were alive because justice eluded them.
Never mind.
It's got thousands of followers from the U.S. of A. all the way across the ocean. Into Asia. It's got a large concentration of many, many thousands apparently in South Korea. But the point is this, gents. We can do better.
Uh-oh.
It's now your turn, folks. Citizens, Phil, Griff, it is time for the triumphant return of the Build a Cult Workshop Alien Origins Edition.
Thank God Dave is not on this show.
With apologies to Dave DiOrio, you're not going to want to hear this. The rules are simple in case you have not been keeping up. I will give you a prompt inspired by real-life aliens done it religion, realism, and you half-men will shape your cult the way you see fit. Because the only way we'll ever know the truth, gents, for sure, is if we make it up. Are you ready?
Can you go over the rules again?
Round one. Griff, you're up first.
Mm.
Let's hear, and this is going to test your improvisational abilities now.
God help me.
Let's hear your alien contact story. Old Rael, boo, he went on an impromptu hike and was invited into a just-landed ship where he sat on it for 6 days inside this ship and was talked to by an alien who apparently had a chin-strap beard. Who told him all about how they started all the religions of the world, and now it was time to start an embassy on Earth so the aliens could come down and interface with us once and for all? I don't know. So, the question is, Griff, in your cult, and we want this to succeed, man, how do the aliens reach out to you? What is the scenario? You as the chosen one, how, where did the aliens contact you?
I was on a trip in Germany with a friend.
Good. Good.
Good start. No. I'm currently on a trip in Germany with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And we're visiting this castle. All right. Now we go into the catacombs of the castle. And as we're walking along there and it's dark and all that stuff, this spider, because I know how much you love spiders.
Wow.
Thanks, thank ever so much.
Comes up and tells us, the way to salvation is to build a castle twice as big as what we're.
Is it an alien spider? I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Oh, is it an alien? Oh yeah, uh-huh. Space spider that's living in the catacombs of this castle we're visiting.
So is that's your answer, that the spider reached out, made contact by talking to you in the catacombs?
Oh no, it bit me first.
Okay, spider bite.
And then what happened was it sent this venom up to my brain and was,
oh, and it's was, talking to
yes,
you.
Yes, communicated with me that way.
Telepathic space alien spider in the catacombs.
Yes.
Okay. We'll table it there. That was how you were approached, right?
Mm-hmm.
Phil, very same question. Again, remember
yes.
the way this worked for Rael.
Sure.
There was a spaceship. It came,
well,
landed. He's invited
on
board.
Out,
what about you?
Well, something in common with Rael. I was on the toilet when I got beamed up, and it was just a weird coincidence because, as it turns out, the driver of the spaceship sits in exactly the same position, and since I spend so much time on the toilet, they were monitoring the planet, and they're like, this guy's clearly an expert, and they're going to need a new pilot, so they beamed me up for that reason, and so they wanted me to pilot their spaceship, and then I just started talking about Earth, and we became friends.
And then the truth was revealed to you
in your
toilet piloting chat.
They taught me so much as I was driving that ship around the galaxy.
Okay. All right. That's round one. Round two.
By the way, are we building on what we just...
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's all a thing. Yeah. Don't worry. I won't let you forget your alien spider bite in the catacombs of the German castle to talk to you telepathically, nor Phil's midshipman promotion. Don't you fret.
That was fantastic, dude.
Round two. What amazing truth did the aliens reveal to you? Rael got the gobsmack-worthy, we made humans in all religions, right? And then we want to have an embassy, okay? But what did you get as the clarion call? They made humans. We're going to find that out, of course. And they... What, Phil?
And we're the last. They started all life all over the universe.
Oh.
And it was all not up to their standards, except us. And you're special.
Oh, boy, that's a hefty, that's smart. This guy over here could start himself a cult. Griff, let's see if you can hang with that. So, remember, this is revealed truth. This is trying to get everybody to pay attention. I've got news. Two major headlines, folks. Number one, the aliens I spoke to, at least their spokesperson who bit me, I was told, convincingly in the catacombs, the aliens created human life. And that's not all. They also, what?
Okay. No, their venom
yep. mm-hmm.
makes certain people super smart. I'm talking beyond genius.
So among us are other alien spiders that one who has been bitten by this has achieved super intelligence.
Yes.
Okay.
Not so much physical prowess, but
super
just,
intelligence. Yes. Let's go to round three.
Strong sell, buddy.
Okay. And Griff, we're coming right back to you first on this.
Alrighty.
So let's have it. The three commandments of your new alien-inspired religion, right? Guide us, oh middlemen of all middlemen. What is it that we must do, that we should never do? What are the guiding precepts? Three of them. Of your new religion. How must we live? How best to please the catacomb-dwelling, bitey, super-venomed, ten-legged spider alien gods and their super-intelligent progeny, Griff?
Number one, all schools shall be equipped with a massive music lab.
State of the art
with high-end MacBook Pros and synths.
Excellent. Thou shalt do that. All right, yeah. Phil, let's get first commandment from the whole
from the
commoditous
commoditous truth.
Yeah, yes, from the second rock from some sun, some terrible place.
Rock deuce. First commandment. Logic and verifiable fact shall always prevail.
I've never heard of a cult that was its own mechanism of suicide before. All right, Griff.
Okay.
We've now heard that. Let's come back to you for commandment number two.
Decree number two. All those that had superhuman intelligence shall be reduced back to their normal intelligence. So they can only keep it for a certain amount of time to impart whatever sort of wisdom.
Okay.
And then go back.
So wisdom is temporary. It shall be surrendered and all is fleeting.
Right.
Okay. How dark. What a good Middle Ages type of, or even Egyptian, even ancient Egyptian. Okay, Phil, what is the toilet alien humanity creating commode bearing number two? Commandments. It's probably the most important one, right?
It is. Use your knowledge to help each other.
I'm worried about yours that it's never going to get violent.
Oh, don't worry. I got okay. this covered.
Okay. I'll have faith. I didn't mean to be a stand and peer.
That's right.
Griff, your third and final commandment.
Stop thinking you're so damn special.
It's exactly the opposite.
Are we still playing the game?
No, wait. Really? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it? I'm not questioning
it. Oh, no. I was talking to you directly.
I knew it. I was trying to get away before you. So, all right. Commandment three.
All gifts, supposedly, that are given to you are fleeting.
Yes.
So make sure you cherish them while you have it. And then, you know, that knowledge is imparted into human beings. And it's okay.
Yeah, man. Okay. Phil, your third and final commandment.
If a species is acting mostly illogically, exterminate it.
All right, now that's exciting stuff. Some violence born right into the commandments.
I told you, you gotta have faith in mine.
It's like I always say, man, when it comes to the bathroom, number three is the scariest number. All right, let's move to round four.
Oh, there's a fourth?
There are five rounds.
All right, right.
Yeah, this gets detailed.
Round four. Rael got creepy. Realism got creepy with him. It happens to all of us. He ended up with a whole order of female helpers, angels or whatever he called them, devoted to donating their eggs and providing Rael himself with whatever physical distractions he may have had at any and all times. What is your cult's naughty little secret? Rael had his female helpers. They were not forced. However, doesn't make it any less creepy that he's got his own little handmaids going on there. Phil?
Weighing my options on this one. The naughty little secret of the cult that started with me sitting on a toilet.
Mm-hmm.
every time you go to the bathroom, other than the supreme leader of the cult,
obviously,
you're only allowed one square.
Oh, gosh.
Which is a reference to episode 2 or 3.
Oh, God.
Episode
the,
2.
The
military one square rationing procedure.
But it's the military urban legend.
Yes.
Now made substance.
Except for the supreme leader. I'm allowed to have one wet wipe.
Hey, it's not even up to you. It's what the aliens
Listen,
have
decreed, that's not me.
Right?
Listen, that's them.
Yeah.
That's just logical, guys.
Right. Griff.
After the superhumans go back to average intelligence, they're killed publicly.
How is that a secret?
That's not a secret.
They're
killed privately.
They're killed privately and turned into spiders that bite.
By the way, your cult, I mean, I'm sort of thinking as far as a name would go, is it like the Spider Biters, Spider Bittens, Arachna Truthers? Like, do you have a name in mind?
I'll think about that.
Okay. You're going to want that for round 5.
No.
Phil, do you have a name in mind for your...
I don't know. Something you kind of go in there with... I like the trying to work the word commode in there.
Right. So the
Commodians.
The Commodians. Okay. Round 5.
I have a name.
Oh.
Arachnocidians.
Arachnocidians.
Ooh.
Okay.
Solid.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, you would say that, wouldn't you?
At least I hope it's solid. Yeah.
Round 5.
If not, you need fiber. Yes.
All right. You did it. Your religion took root. But you're not going to stumble like that new Braille. You know that to really make it big, you've gotta get martyred. How's the big death scene go, boys? Real is still around, and I bet you hadn't really heard of it until today. In fact, from your sort of wondering looks when I brought it up, you weren't quite sure what it is. There's a reason for that. He's still alive. So how does the big death scene go? And hey, if you really score big on this, your death, gents, might end up immortalized on countless necklaces, wall hangings, velvet art, biker tattoos. Think of it, huh? Your death, or the means by which it occurred, could be symbolic for something great for all time. How you gonna die?
Let me phrase it right.
Martyr yourself, Phil.
I'm kind of worried that you've always wanted to say that to me, but whatever.
I'm asking
you. I need to pack it like a stool.
I think the answer is somewhere in there.
So we need to get the message out. Each member is going to take turns to try and spread their message. We're going to opt for skywriting. And basically, it's rent a small plane, fill it with toilet paper, light it on fire.
Wow.
And fly over Nizhny Novgorod.
God bless you.
That's good.
Now, I'm not hearing that you're dead yet. I'm just hearing that there's fiery toilet paper.
Well, I mean, if you see a flaming thing over Nizhny Novgorod.
Bless me.
What else are you going to think it is?
I don't know. Not a
space stingray,
so
obviously.
So you burned up. So you are.
Yes.
I'm thinking you were like dropping hot.
I mean, part.
Some toilet paper.
We're dropping hot rolls over the
it's
city.
It's all aflame.
And it's all aflame in the sky.
You.
Yes.
And
trying
the toilet
to
paper.
Write.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's a runny martyrdom, I suppose. Griff.
Somehow, when people become superhuman, superhuman intelligence, they somehow either refuse or figure out a way to not go back. They're smart enough to kind of to raise the level of awareness and intelligence of others. But because I'm such a jerk, they kill me publicly.
Okay. Effectively, you've been found out, and they're now too smart for your own good.
Right.
And you're killed, I guess, because you represent... Oh, boy, this is sort of Lord of the Flies a little bit. Mm. You represent the better middle road, let's do this responsibly, so you're executed.
Yeah.
Yours is an Armageddon scenario, really, if you think about it, because there's now a new race of... people that are nigh on unstoppable.
Right. And then my legacy is kind of, you know, like that guy.
There it is. You're right. Yeah. That is the Tales of the Crypt ending.
And he is that guy, kiddies.
All right, everybody. This has been a fascinating edition of the Build a Cult Workshop Part 2 Alien Origins Edition. We are now going to take a break. That's all the time we have for the dive. When we come back, we've got three for the road, and also we're going to give Griff a chance to leave us with either anything he wants to plug, something he wants us to remember, something he wants us to think about, turn our priorities a particular direction. So stay tuned for all of that and maybe a little extra. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? This was recorded in the past and you're in the future. I don't know how it works now.
Actually, that's always how it works.
Yeah, whippersnappers. Yeah, but this is big.
Well, yeah, it's not 2 days.
You hush up.
We'll be right back.
Hush. Shh.
Hey, where you going? It's not gonna be long. Come on back. We're already back. See, we're right here.
We are back. It is Act 3. The cults have dispersed or flamed out or murdered each other, flushed, whatever. And it is time now for Three for the Road, that Woo! Part of the show where we talk about those things we didn't have time to talk about during the main part of the show that didn't really fit in with the theme of the main part of the show. But we each get 30 seconds three times to talk about whatever it is we want to talk about. Once we get at that 30 seconds, you'll hear something a lot like this. And that is Desi the Decibel saying it is time to shut up and let the next person take over. Once we get through that, we will turn things over to Griff, who's going to give us something to think about, something to leave, something to focus on as we head out. And then we will see you next week in the future.
Again.
Back then. Again. So, Phil, are you ready?
Yeah.
Phil, are you set?
Wait. Yeah.
Phil, here you go!
I just want to say, first of all, thank you to Griff, not just for being on the show, but for doing the harder job. As a college professor, the preparation of students before they get to me is so critical, and all those teachers that you mentioned that never get that recognition for doing their job. Too often we hear about the crappy ones, and let me tell you what, thank you for doing that job, and thank you to all the teachers out there listening who do that job, who don't just teach to the test, who really prepare their students to think and to be good citizens. Thank you.
Nice. I don't know. I haven't timed this out, but I just want to say that this is going on, I think, well, by the time people hear this, like 6 or 7 weeks, but it's 3 weeks, I think, for me,
something
where
like
I
that.
Have been off Facebook altogether. I have not gone on. I have not posted. I barely even read what's there. I have reached out to some people who have seen me and tried to talk to me. I've reached out to them elsewhere. You can break the social media habit, everybody. You can actually get away from there and get away from all the negativity and the nastiness. Try to drop in. Try to give yourself limits, or like me, maybe pick one or two modes and stay off of social media whenever you can. It's poison.
So, not that we found all of the matter in the universe recently, but published in Nature this week, we've observed the missing baryons. Now, we knew how much matter there should have been. Regular matter, not dark matter.
Mm.
But even up until now, I don't know if everybody realized, part of it's been missing, 20 to 30%. But some more precise measurements of the warm, hot intergalactic medium, which just sounds so sexy, for more precise measurements have turned up the missing baryons, which means the only thing we're missing right now is dark matter.
Miss the bell?
Wow.
That's a whip around moment. He missed the bell twice. Okay, Christo's barrel art came down today in our time stream. Everybody should look it up. Some colored barrels are out there in England. It was really cool.
They're
in the water. I want more of these reality tweaking installations. More of them. We are so used to so many things. Make shit weird. There's not enough weird shoved into people's faces these days. It might be the fulcrum that can turn our society around, one's willingness to accept, to understand, to be around the weird. Ask yourself, what was the last weird thing you saw? What was the last thing weird thing you did? Did it qualify as a jarring and unpleasant experience? Well, right there is where the seeds of intolerance lie. Take in weird shit, accept weird shit, look at weird shit, and accept it.
So those freaky physicists, you gotta love them. And also, it goes into the teaching as well, because in an effort to demonstrate the way one-dimensional potentials work on a carbon nanowire filament, scientists have illustrated this using a Toblerone bar and gummy bears. And it's a perfect example of electron potential. It's a perfect example of how not to take yourself too seriously. And it's a perfect example of how nothing is too complex to break it down if you really think about it. That's good teaching. It's hard to do, but it can be done.
Nice hit on the bell, Phil.
Hey!
A strange, uplifting story that overlaps with my love of all things villain. 19-year-old Eric Finman, the world's youngest Bitcoin millionaire, recently created what is being called a functional Dr. Octopus suit for a 10-year-old with hypermobility syndrome. Effectively, young Finman has spearheaded an effort that created a 3D-printed set of four grippy tentacles powered by a 4-cell lithium motorcycle battery that helps this 10-year-old kid move and grab shit, and one must assume, scale buildings, hurl projectiles at Spider-Man, and fashion the coolest bad guy glasses of all time. And the whole thing is only 12 and a half pounds, and I want one. I want one.
God, let me be awesome. The Doc Ock! That did it.
Is that not a cool story?
That is awesome.
That he did that. It would have cost like millions and whatever, but 3D printing helped and his Bitcoin.
3D printing's awesome. Whatever. I would
so
love
he was
to
able to do this
those.
For this kid, this
That's
10-year-old.
Great.
And you know, hey.
What a good use of fortune for a change.
And
jeez.
I am sure he's mature enough and ready to have those.
Yeah, nothing will go wrong at
tentacles.
All.
Not a problem.
That's not going to breed a super griff here right there.
Yeah, no, I was thinking that 3D printing, isn't that just an early form of a replicator?
Oh yeah,
it blows my mind.
One type of matter so far, but yeah, it's getting there.
We would like to end things here by turning to Griff. First of all, Griff, do you have anything you want to plug whatsoever?
Plug?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Okay, but I want to make sure. Okay. But Griff, I thought what also might be a really good idea is to turn to you, the traveler, the educator, the administrator, the fun dude, the guy that I really don't want to abandon me somewhere near the foot of the Alps. Could you give us some words to live by, some words to think about?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, I want to thanks, Phil, for saying that about teachers. That's really wonderful.
Thank you for doing what you do, man.
I said the same thing earlier. You just didn't hear me.
Yeah, I teach fifth and sixth grade, and I often say the ones that teach kindergarten first, those are the ones that are really have to be put up on that pedestal, because they're teaching these little these creatures that are just trying to figure out their way of existence, how to be. So, and they're very well prepared by the time they come to us.
Hey, man, anything sub-adult level is just impossible for me. I give you all the credit in the world.
Thanks. But I was going to quote one of my favorite people. His name's Tim Minchin. He's an entertainer from Australia. And comedian, musician.
Musician comedy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Jill's a fan, by the way.
Oh, Caroline might be, too.
He's amazing. But one of the things that he said at a speech, I believe somewhere in Australia, not quite sure exactly. One of his rules for they was talking about to the graduating class was be a teacher. And I'm quoting here: be a teacher, please, please, please be a teacher. Teachers are the most admirable and important people in the world. You don't have to do it forever, but if you're in doubt about what to do, be an amazing teacher. Even if you're not a teacher, be a teacher and share your ideas. And when you take away the politics, because that's all you hear about when you hear about education nowadays, it's just it's politics, It's the shameful reality is that, anything that deals with the public has to be, enforced by public policy. So politics is involved. But if you take it all away, all you're left with is people with knowledge sharing things with people who crave knowledge. And there are so many good teachers out there who genuinely care and are genuinely passionate about what they do. And please, those people, please put them in high regard, because we need it, and the profession and the education world needs it. I hate to be cheesy here, but we're educating the future here. But it's true.
Give them all the support you can, everybody.
That is wise.
Thank you.
So we'll end on that note, right?
That was the most up ending ever.
Don't run up and hug a teacher.
Just
support.
I do high fives.
Fist bumps.
Yeah, fist bumps. High fives.
Fist
bumps. Stuff like that.
Thank a teacher.
And if you're a parent, take time to thank your kid's teacher. It's very, very important.
Hey, can I give a piece of advice to piggyback on that? Maybe if you want to give the teachers a present at the end of the school year and you're not sure what to give them, maybe don't give them a potted plant. I just saw my kid's teacher given like 10 potted plants at the end of it. Because like, here, now that you're not taking care of my kid, here's something you can have to look after, take care of, water, and make sure it's doing all right while we're gone. Maybe think of something different than another responsibility that they have to take on. Just throwing it out there. So thank a teacher.
I got to tell you, the Wawa gift cards are nice, though.
Don't give them another responsibility. So, Griff, I want to say thank you from me, from Phil, from the others who were not lucky enough to be here to talk to you. I thank you both for your participation in building up some cults that we can all think about between now and whenever next week, last time, 6 weeks from now is.
I want a Dave Doodle for each of our cults again.
A Dave Doodle all around for everybody. A Dave Doodle to you, sir. Till we are back here again later yesterday, we love you. Goodbye.
Oh, bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Stop it.
No.
I'm Beethoven. I make the rules.
You get to do it your way.